Thank you for joining me for worship today. Today is the third Sunday of End Time. It's Saints Triumphant Sunday as we think about the victory that believers have in Christ. Our order of service begins in the bulletin. We're going to open right now with hymn number 883, Behold a Host Arrayed in White.
Behold a host arrayed in white, like thousand snow-clad mountains bright. With palms they stand, who is this band before the throne of light? These are the saints of glorious fame, who from the great affliction came, and in the flood of Jesus' blood are cleansed from guilt and blame. Now gathered in the holy place, their voices they in worship raise, their anthems swell where God resides, mid angels' songs of praise. Despised and scorned, they sojourned here, but now how glorious they appear. Those martyrs stand, a priestly band, God's throne forever near. So oft in trouble, days gone by, in anguish they would weep and sigh, at home above, the God of love, for ere their tears shall dry. They now enjoy the Sabbath rest, the heavenly banquet of the blessed, the Lamb their Lord at festive board, Himself is host and guest. O blessed saints in bright array, now safely home in endless day, extol the Lord who with his word sustained you on the way. The steep and narrow path you trod, you toiled and sowed the word abroad. Rejoice and bring your fruits and sing before the throne of God. The high, swing high your palms, lift up your song. Yes, make it myriad voices strong. Let heaven ring to Christ the King. All praise and thanks belong.
We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful. I have disobeyed you and justly deserve your punishment both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for the evil I have thought, spoken, and done. And for the sake of my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
I now ask you before God who searches the heart, do you confess your sins of thought, word, and deed? Are you sorry for your sins? Do you look to our Savior, Jesus Christ, for forgiveness? And with the Holy Spirit's help, do you want to correct your sinful life? Then declare so by saying yes. Upon this confession, I, as a called servant of the Word, announce to you God's grace and the forgiveness of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our epistle reading for this third Sunday of End Time Saints Triumphant Sunday is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 to 3, verse 5, where, Paul is praying for strength to spread the message of salvation so that more and more people can be called into God's believing family, be the saints of God. Paul wrote, "But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance." Alleluia. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Our gospel reading is from Luke 20, verses 27 to 38. The Sadducees, a group of people who didn't believe in the resurrection, the physical resurrection, they came to Jesus with this challenging question about marriage in heaven. And, Jesus says there won't be that marriage in heaven, but he's reminding us always that in heaven it will be wonderful, perfect, and something that's so hard to describe for us today. Luke wrote, "Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. 'Teacher,' they said, 'Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother.' Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her, and in the same way, the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Since the seven were married to her, Jesus replied, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection." But in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. And we'll sing our next hymn, hymn number 880, verses 1 to 4, "For All the Saints."
For all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia. Their rock, their fortress, and their might. Thou, Lord, their captain in the well-fought fight. Thou, in the darkness, drear their one true light. Alleluia. Soldiers, faithful, true, and bold, fight as the saints who nobly fought of old, and win with them the victor's crown of gold. Alleluia. Communion, fellowship divine. We feebly struggle, they in glory shine. Yet all are one within their grand design. Alleluia.
Grace and love of our Lord and Savior be with us always. Amen. The Word of God we want to consider this Saints Triumphant Sunday is our Old Testament reading from Isaiah 65, verses 17 to 25. The Lord said, "Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord. they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, who art our strength and our salvation. Amen. My dear fellow members of God's believing family, members of the church, there is an old fable that talks about how when God decided that he was going to give his law to the Israelites from one of the mountain peaks, well, the fable says that the different mountain peaks came to God and pleaded their case why they should be chosen as the place from which God's law would be proclaimed. Well, Mount Hermon pleaded, "Choose me, I am the tallest of all. The waters of the flood covered the whole earth, but I towered above the waters of the flood the longest, even as your holy law will tower over the earth." Mount Carmel said, "Choose me, for I am as lovely as a garden." And Mount Lebanon said, "Choose me, for my cedars sing of your greatness." Well, they made their case, but then God said to Mount Sinai, "From your summit shall my law go forth to my people, for you alone are set forth in the desert, even as Israel alone is among the people of the earth, and I am God alone." The Israelites, they were God's chosen people, and from them the blessings and the promises of God's word were to flow into the barren wilderness of this sinful world, this world with its sin and unbelief. The Israelites often failed at getting that message out, but they were supposed to reveal to the world the glory of the church. And that word church, it's really a very special word that sadly in the English loses its flavor, but if you look at that Greek word that it comes from, ek kaleo, ek means out of, and kaleo means to call. So the word church means to be called out of. The church, and now here we're not talking about a church organization or a congregation, and we're not talking about a church building. Here we're talking about the church, which consists of all people who by the grace of God have been called out of this unbelieving world and into God's believing family. The Holy Christian Church, the Communion of Saints, are other names for the church. And now today, through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord reveals to us the glory of the church. The church, that Holy Christian Church to which we, by the grace of God, belong. So let's consider, the church militant or the church triumphant. That's the church of believers, all true believers in heaven. And then also the church militant. That is believers still living in this world, fighting the good fight of faith, looking forward to eternal life, looking forward to being a part of the church triumphant. Prophet Isaiah is one of a number of prophets who had a tough assignment from the Lord. He was to, as scripture says, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving, make the heart of this people calloused. He was to preach, as Scripture says, until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until there was nothing left but the smallest seed of a remnant, the stump of the line of David, from which God would, well, rebuild his people after the Babylonian captivity. And most importantly, what God would do is from that remnant, that stump of David, what God would do is God would provide his son as the Savior, the Messiah, the promised one, the eternal king on David's throne. Isaiah was to preach this harsh judgment on the Israelite nation because for the most part they had rejected the God who wanted to bless them as his special people. Before our reading, there is this final prayer by the few remaining believers that rebellious Israel might be led to repentance so that this judgment from God, the Babylonian captivity, the destruction of Jerusalem and all of that, that might possibly not have to take place. And, well, God answered that prayer. He said, I will not keep silent, but will pay back in full both your sins and the sins of your fathers. Because they defied me on the hills, I will measure into their laps the full payment for their former deeds. That sounds so ominous, so terrible. Yet there is hope in that faithful remnant that would remain, that branch onto which God would graft those wild olive shoots, well, known as the Gentiles, of course. There would be a new order, a new church, a new people of God, and finally a new heaven and a new earth. And this new church and this new heaven and new earth, that's the subject of our reading as the Lord describes for us the glory of the church. Now, first in our reading, the Lord describes the church triumphant. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Amazing to think about this world with all of its problems and troubles, sin, temptation, all of that will be gone. The joy that was there in the Garden of Eden before the fall into sin, that will be restored. And it sounds as if we won't be able to even remember the heartaches and the troubles and the problems that we faced in this life. The sins that we've committed, we'll have this perfectly clean slate that will never be dirtied again. That's something so wonderful to look forward to. The Lord said, be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Jerusalem is often used as a picture of the place where we will have this complete and perfect and eternal pleasure. The absence of sorrow and the abundance of joy, it's going to last forever. And since all people will be a joy, what that means is that we'll never cause each other or our God any of the sorrow that, well, we cause in this life. We'll cause only happiness for each other and for God. And imagine what that will be like in this lifetime. I cause others problems. You cause others problems. We give God grief. we disappoint our Heavenly Father. But in heaven, that won't happen ever again. Some years ago, a pastor was preaching on the joys of heaven, the joy of believers in heaven. The next day, one of his members came to him and said, "Pastor, you delivered a fine sermon on the joys of heaven, but you didn't show us where to find heaven. Can you tell me now?" The pastor responded to that, "I just visited a poor widow with her two little children. All three are ill, confined to their beds. They are without fuel, food, and other essentials. I would advise you to buy food, go to them, and offer your help. When you arrive, read to them the 23rd Psalm and pray with them. If you don't find heaven, I'll pay the bill." Well, the member did as the pastor encouraged him to do, and the next day, with joy, he returned to the pastor and said, "Pastor, for 15 minutes I experienced the happiness of heaven. I wish only that others could learn what I learned." Don't know why he didn't stay for longer than 15 minutes, but the point is that we aren't in heaven yet, but we can experience some of the joys of heaven. Well, a lot of the joys of heaven. And we can do that especially when we share our Savior and his love with others. In the rest of our reading, then, Isaiah combines what he sees of the future, both the better future that God's people will experience on this earth when Jesus' work would be accomplished for our salvation in these, well, New Testament times, we could say. And then also pictures the perfect future of God's people in heaven. He said, "Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed." And now this is actually such an understatement for believers because, well, Jesus did say, "Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Heaven ever again. In the Old Testament, a shortened life was often viewed as a curse, a special curse for those who lived ungodly lives. In the New Testament era, things are different. God demonstrates such amazing patience when you think about it, both toward individuals and toward nations. How blessed we are that God is patient with us, that he doesn't strike us down when we are rebellious. And we have to say that same thing of our nation. It's getting some strong wake-up calls with the tough times that we're facing right now, but is still rebelling against God's will in so many ways. So why is God so patient? The Apostle Peter says, "The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." He's giving us, he's giving our world, he's giving our nation more and more time to repent. The Lord said, "They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them." Because of their disobedience, God had threatened that his people would not enjoy living in the houses that they built or enjoy the fruit that they had worked to plant and cultivate and grow. In this new era, the New Testament era in particular, God's judgment wouldn't fall on his people who come under the special care of a gracious God who wants our world conditions to be right so that the gospel can spread and thrive. Throughout the New Testament times, there have been misfortunes and tragic deaths, and think of the shootings, the war, the terrorism, the natural disasters like typhoons and hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and terrible storms and such things. But through all of that, what we're assured from our God is, well, Scripture says, in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God keeps on working to reach souls with the gospel. That's why he's so patient. The Lord said, before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. There was a young man who was preparing for work in the church, and he was hit with some hard times. He really needed some money. So he broke down, and in desperation, he prayed to God. And he was kind of shocked because the next day what happened is that he received this large check which would enable him to continue his studies. And when he thought that check was an answer to the prayer that he had prayed, he was happy, he was thrilled, but then he looked at the date on the check, and the date on the check was days before he had prayed his prayer in desperation. And then he was disappointed because he was thinking, well, this isn't an answer to a direct answer to his prayer. But then his joy soon returned when he read Isaiah 64, verse 24, 65, verse 24. Before they call, I will answer. And see, he came to realize that the Lord had an answer to his prayer even before he prayed it. And now through faith in our Lord and Savior, you and I can have that same confidence. The Lord takes care of us. He knows our problems. He knows our troubles before we ever experience them. And he said, the wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat strong like the ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. The Lord is reminding us here that really it's only believers in this life who are really blessed. We have the greatest blessings with his grace and his love and forgiveness and the hope and the strength that he gives to us. Unbelievers, though, they really have nothing. That's why we need to share Jesus with them. When Christopher Columbus was nearing the continent that he supposedly discovered, he saw floating toward him this tree branch. And that green sprig was wonderfully significant because, well, it told him and his mutinous, despairing, disheartened crew that somewhere not too far off in the distance was what they were looking for. It wasn't long until they heard, land ahead, land ahead. And now see, if you think of that picture a little bit, for 2,000 years, the ship of God's construction. That's the church, the Holy Christian Church. It's been making its way across the ocean of time. Its course is set. Its compass points to a distant shore. It sails confidently, for its master has said it shall reach its goal and anchor in the new heavens and the new earth. By God's grace, you and I know where we're going. Our Savior is with us. We have his never-failing grace and love. That's the glory of the church, of the New Testament church, that we enjoy right now and that we'll enjoy fully forever with the Lord Jesus in heaven. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God and Savior, you have set the final day and hour when we shall be delivered from this world of sin and death. Keep us ever watchful for the coming of your Son, that we may sit with him and all your holy ones at the marriage feast in heaven. We pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And Lord God, we can look forward to our eternal home when we will be saints triumphant in heaven. And what a glorious thing that will be. But right now, as we continue to be the saints militant, fighting the good fight of faith, help us to remember always how you're with us, how you'll watch over us, how you're our refuge and strength, and that therefore, even though life with its trials and troubles and temptations are all around us, well, since you are our refuge and strength, we don't have to fear. We can just keep on trusting in you and knowing you're going to take us to our eternal goal. We are so blessed. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. And in our prayers, we keep on thinking about those in our prayer list who are dealing with their different aches and pains and trials and troubles, and we ask you, Lord God, if it's your will, grant them healing so that they can better fight the good fight of faith in this life. But especially keep pointing them and pointing all of us to our eternal goal and the joys of being a part of that church triumphant in heaven. We are so blessed right now to be part of your church and to look forward to that being a part of your church and your family forever. And so we gather up all of the prayers we have as we join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Let's join in singing our prayer for our country. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Again, I'd say thank you for joining me for worship today in our congregation. Well, no birthdays or anniversaries that I'm aware of this week. Reminder that next Wednesday, what's scheduled right now is our Thanksgiving Eve service at 6:30 p.m. In our prayer list, well, we keep thinking of Forrest Ripley dealing with, well, recuperating after that mass has been, cancerous mass has been removed from his brain. We think of Deb Spitzley and her stroke and different troubles, and Christine Dreese with her shoulder issues again, and well, Paula Burris with her circulation and leg problems, and Linda Hazzi, Parkinson's disease, Diane Kennedy dealing with, well, we thought this Parkinsonism, but maybe it's something else called NPH, that's the abbreviation for it. Well, we think of all those in our prayer list. We think of Colleen Webb, and well, please keep them all in your prayers, that God would build them up and strengthen them and build up all of us and strengthen us so that we can keep on fighting the good fight of faith until the Lord takes us to our eternal home. Again, thank you for joining me for worship. The Lord bless and keep you always.